Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have our usual, well, almost usual, Steve, Chris, and Bob. No Lauren this time. But we also have our Dibcasters from across the pond. We have Mel, Jeff, Grant, and James. Welcome to everyone.
Hi.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
We've got a big crew today. On today's podcast, we're going to be discussing Disneyland Paris. And Disneyland has its anniversary coming up. What's going on, Steve?
Well, they had their 20th anniversary. And I was there. We talked, I think, on a previous show with everybody over at the Dibcast. I was there last year, and the park kind of needed some maintenance. And I wanted to kind of get your guys' take on what you thought about the park a year later, now that it's the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, you definitely gave us an earful on what you weren't pleased with. So let's see if anything's improved.
Melanie and myself, we are DLP fans and fanatics. We have been going variously to Disneyland Paris at least once a year, if not twice a year, since 1999. And obviously, this is the 20th anniversary year. It would be rude not to. We haven't managed to make it over there yet, but we have plans to visit in September. One thing or another, we are the Dibcast members looking after the Disneyland Paris forums on that website there. So we've got a fair bit of knowledge between us, as indeed Jeff and Grant also do.
Okay. Yeah, and I think, Jeff, you went right before I went, and I guess it was a little cold and rainy.
It was. You know, if you live in Europe, you get used to it. But yeah, we enjoyed ourselves. I mean, we were fortunate because it was my partner's birthday, and we wanted to push out the boat. So we actually stayed Castle Club, which gave us a room that looked right down Main Street. Because I don't know if your listeners realise that the Disneyland Hotel at Paris is actually built over the park entrance.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you can actually see into the park from the back of it. And you've got a view right down to the castle, and also you've got a members lounge. So we saw the Dream Show, you know, live in the park. But then the other two nights we just sat in the lounge and watched it through the window.
Oh, that's nice. Now I know that, so at the Disneyland Hotel, for those that don't know, if you're heading towards the restaurants, there's an elevator and there's a small phone there, and there's a sign that says Castle Club. And I pick up that phone every time I go, and they never let me up.
I tell you it's $1,500 a night, you can see why.
Yeah, the prices are unbelievable at Disneyland.
Well, isn't Disneyland Hotel sort of like a Grand Floridian on a smaller scale?
Yes.
It looks absolutely a lot like
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and it's pink. Yeah. Very pink.
Very pink. Okay.
It's extremely pink. They also pump vanilla through the air conditioning.
Yeah, that's what that smell is.
Yeah.
It's got a very distinct smell.
It does. Some people love it. Others, after about 2 hours, are sick to death of it. But it is very much Grand Floridian. The Park Fair side of Grand Floridian, I think. And, pink. And it's in obviously matching up with the castle at the other end of Main Street, which is also bright pink.
Hmm. And I know, Steve, from your pictures, it looked like for the 20th, they even had the carpeting that said, like, 20th anniversary.
Yeah, the lobby's really cool.
I've got a picture of me on that. I'll send it out.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, they. I thought they did, because Bob, Chris, Lisa, and I did the 40th at Disney World, and we kind of thought it was a letdown. It was just one day, and there wasn't much going on, and they did, like, you know, a couple hundred cupcakes, and there was an hour line to get a cupcake, and then they were gone, and 45 minutes. And Disneyland Paris, from what I saw, seemed to have done it right. Because you go into, just like Bob was saying, with the Disneyland Hotel, you walk in and there's this purple runner that says 20th anniversary that goes right from the door all the way up to the staircase. So they've extended it into the resorts. Plus, I thought the park looked really nice. And they had lots of merchandise, specialty food items, all kinds of cool stuff.
Did you guys see the YouTube video where on the first day of the 20th celebrations, every cast member came out and performed on Main Street? And
no,
they
I'll
actually
have to
had
up.
The carpet there down Main Street.
No, that's nice.
Wow. I like fun things like that.
I'll give you the link for that. It's
like a
brilliant.
Disney flash mob.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. It was really, really good. Yes.
Oh, I need to see that.
They did the flash mob dance in Main Street just before Rope Drop. And then they partied right down the middle of Main Street, almost like the parting of the sea. And then clapped and cheered as the first guests ran down Main Street towards the castle, giving them balloons and all sorts. Mm. So, yeah, it is a very big event. And it's not just that opening day. It's the whole 20th anniversary celebration. Let's not forget it's 20 years of the resort. And obviously that in the main means that Disneyland Park. But also its sister park, Walt Disney Studios, is also 10 years old. Mm. Because they share pretty much the same birthday. And they learned a trick or two 5 years back when they did the 15th anniversary, which that marketing campaign and that whole celebration actually lasted for about 18 months. When they realized that if they pushed it, they marketed it, they promoted it, they put some special shows on, then the people of Europe would come to the park. And back then, it was one of their busiest peak years, if you look at the financial figures. And already they're saying, based on numbers so far, and their summer season only really starts end of May, start of June, they're already saying that they're seeing record attendance numbers in their on-site hotels and certainly through the turnstiles.
Hmm. Well, they've come a long way then, because, I mean, I remember when Disneyland Paris opened and it looked like it was touch and go there for a while. You know, like
it was. Until Eisner stamped his feet, didn't he?
I think it was a tap dance.
If you go
he sort of told them that the banks, the people who'd stumped up the money, that they had to renegotiate the loans, otherwise Disney would walk. And, you know, the park would have been closed. And at that point, it started to turn around.
Absolutely. I mean, if you go back in the Disneyland Paris history, it's unfortunate that it was badly tarnished by a lot of initial bad French press. Mm. The French media got hold of it. They sided with a lot of the French farmers who weren't happy with the fact that they weren't being properly compensated for some of the land that Disney had bought off them. And there was a lot of, you know, the typical French culture saying, we don't want to be Americanized. Yeah, we'd rather be French. And so it did get a bad press initially. And I think not helping that was the original launch under the name of Euro Disney. As Jeff has said, it didn't work. So the banks threatened, well, you know, we're not giving you any more money. So Eisner stamped his feet and said, well, look, you know, either we can do a deal here or we'll walk away from it completely, leaving you with several hundred acres of completely worthless land that you can't do anything with and a defunct theme park. So as if by magic, the banks did a deal. And ever since, after a few changes, they went through various management changes. They now seem to have settled down and got their act together with their current chief exec, Philippe. And over the last few years, yeah, the attendance figures have been growing. There's been major investment into particularly Walt Disney Studios and now Disneyland Park as well. If you are sitting there, either in the UK or in America, thinking, oh, Disneyland Park, don't really like that. Yeah, you are busy reading media reports from several years ago, and you now need to give it a fresh look. It's completely different.
Yeah. Well, about 11 months ago, I took a lot of photos of things that were decayed and rotting and dirty and just needed tons of upkeep. This year, it's completely been redone. I think because of the 20th, they put a lot of money into it.
I think they listened to you.
They've certainly turned it around.
Without doubt.
It was, I mean, you know, I thought it looked fresher. Yeah. The CM attitude was much better. The parade was magnificent. The biggest complaint there is that it's on so late in the day.
Jeff, don't they have a new daytime parade in conjunction with this anniversary?
They do, yeah, but it's at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah, it's at 7 p.m.
Oh.
And a lot of parents complain about that. Why is it not at 3 o'clock, you know, the traditional time? And I understand now, James, that they're bringing the Fantillusion parade back at night, aren't they?
So they I'm are. Just,
I'm just wondering if the afternoon parade will sort of go on earlier.
Well, maybe. The standard answer to why they don't do parades in the afternoon around the normal 2 or 3 o'clock slot is the Spanish. They prefer to go back to their hotels and have a to go back to the hotels and have a siesta.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Seriously. You know what? That's better crowd control.
Isn't it?
The traditional time for the parade at DLP is actually at 5 p.m. rather than 3. So I think with Fantillusion coming back, we'll probably move the parade back to its slot.
I mean, I think they do, yes.
Back to 5?
They do a little parade with the train, don't they, with the Coasty Junior train. Yeah. But that's just really a meet and greet thing. It goes up Main Street to the hub and the characters get off and get mobbed.
it's more of a character meet now. The train, but yeah, I appreciate they're getting a lot of complaints because there's more people there this year. But it's always been, you know, it's always that, you know, traditional Disney joke. What time's the 3 o'clock parade at Disneyland Paris? That's actually a valid question.
Yes.
They do vary it through the season, and it is genuinely because a lot of the Spanish and indeed some other of our European cousins prefer to go back to the hotel to have an afternoon siesta. And given that the Disneyland Hotel is just at the end of Main Street, a lot of the other on-site resorts are no more than a 10-minute walk away across the village. Many people will do that, including us occasionally.
I praise the afternoon nap, whether it's DLP or here in Orlando. Doesn't matter to me. Get that afternoon break and relax, refresh, and get out of that heat, especially in Orlando. And then go back refreshed.
The other thing, just going back to the parade, is that Mickey and Minnie have been given brand new costumes for the celebration.
Oh, what are they wearing?
It's a purpley sort of thing that Mickey's got, isn't it, with a tie.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's roughly based on the Fantasia.
On
Sorcerer Mickey, the Fantasia outfit, because there's a lot of reference to Fantasia and Sorcerer Mickey, both in that afternoon parade and also later on in the Dream Show. They're using Sorcerer Mickey waving his wand and creating like a color rainbow, which is one of the slogans they've used to advertise the color sweep and fountains for dreams. So it's like a purple version of that.
We'll get some pictures over to you. Still.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen Mickey in purple.
What do you guys think of the new nighttime show, the Disney Dreams?
Oh, jaw dropping. Honestly. It's, James will go into the technical side of this, but I mean, when Quasimodo swings around those towers, you can believe he's real.
Yeah. Well, it's just what a stunning.
What they've kind of done, they've taken, you know, the magic and memories and you, and combined that with Fantasmic and World of Color. That's the only way I can describe it. It's like the best of Disney technology brought together in one show.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I actually saw a video of it online. I think it was a Disney's promotional video, and so they recorded the whole show in HD, and it really is amazing. But
even that doesn't do it justice, Steve, because on the videos you can't see the lasers and things that they use.
It's just
incredible show.
I'd back Jeff up with that. There's a lot of comments. We've not been fortunate enough to see it yet. We can't wait until September. But from all the contacts that I've got and all the various Twitter friends and various other DLP forums who have been chatting about it, I would agree with Jeff that the YouTube videos just don't do it justice.
Okay.
They're using two very powerful tricolor lasers from the top of the castle right across down to the Disneyland Hotel, and apparently you can see it beyond into Disney Village.
The way they create the second star to the right is just amazing,
and even a high def vidcam can't pick it out, but apparently it's stunning, and the colors they do like a liquid sky effect, and the color range apparently is just absolutely phenomenal. So we can't wait to see it.
Well, when I heard that, you know, Steve Davidson was designing that show, and he's well known. I think his title is like Vice President of Parades and Fireworks, or President of Parades and Fireworks for Disney.
That's a cool title.
Yeah, he's planned, you know, some of the, you know, most popular, most famous shows. I actually got to hear him speak a couple of years ago at an annual pass holder event, and he talked all about what went into designing Wishes at the Magic Kingdom and how that was 18 months in design, and, you know, what they initially came up with, and you know, to all the way through to final project. And so he'd been posting updates on his Facebook page, and you just knew it was going to be incredible. But then to see just the videos, it blew my mind. And if it's not even half as good as, you know, in person, then yeah, that's, yeah.
It's wonderful that he got involved and they finally come up with a proper, good, original nighttime show that Disneyland Paris can call their own. They've had their own variety of Wishes at one point. They've had the Fireworks in the Sky show initially. But the one problem that Disney Paris have always had from some of the early years is, believe it or not, they're not allowed to use fireworks all year round. They can only use them on designated dates. After a bit of a dispute with the local neighbours, most of which are employed by Disneyland Paris, so go figure. But they use low level ones,
don't they?
Yeah, so they were always going to need a show that if it used any fireworks at all, we're either going to need to use the air shots, like Illuminations, or we're going to need to use some of the sort of more modern, sophisticated, very pretty but quiet shells, which is what they're now doing. So finally, they've got a nighttime show, which, yes, does use pyrotechnics, does use fireworks, but also with all the technology they've borrowed from the World of Colour fountains, plus the image mapping around the castle, combine it with a brilliant score. And, you know, this story of chasing Peter Pan and the second star from the ride. And it's just genius. And it finally gives people a reason to stick around after hours in that park. Because for the last few years, it's been a lovely park. You know, it's open until late in the evening in the height of summer. But beyond the sort of evening Fantillusion parade, there wasn't a great deal of reason for people to stick around. There are a couple of good restaurants in that park, but the majority of them are back in the hotels and back in Disney Village. So if you were sort of tired with kids and you'd done the rides, wasn't really a lot of reason for you to stick around in that park. Now there is. And they're even talking about, I mean, I've been reading recently about have you seen the glow with the show ears?
Yes.
We got to participate in that.
There's a lot of rumors that Steve Davidson is very keen on introducing those to Paris as well and syncing those with the Dream Show. So whether or not we'll see those at some point, I don't know. But apparently he is very keen. He loves them.
Yeah, I actually on his fan page on Facebook, I think he made a comment that he was so impressed by the technology and he would love to use them in Disney Dreams. So
yeah,
but Grant, have you been? Have you been to the 20th yet or no?
I haven't, unfortunately. I plan to go because I'm sort of down this neck of the woods to be able to visit. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing what's on offer. Disney has, for many, many months, if not years, been planning their 20th anniversary. They've launched a massive television and radio campaign. They've done partnerships or hooked up with partnerships to quite large supermarket and hypermarket suppliers and products. You mentioned, Steve, about the decor and the maintenance of the park. I think that they've put everything on hold so that they can have one big push before the 20th. So things that might have been done as routine maintenance, repaired and replaced, has been parked, if you like. And then this year, or before the start of the 20th celebrations, they've really gone to town to spruce everything up and make it like new. I was aware that the park was beginning to show its age and look tired in certain areas. And indeed, in some areas, it just looked downright awful. But I'm glad to see and hear that that the park's making a good impression on its new guests.
Yeah, I thought it was absolutely amazing. I remember when I was there before, in front of the Walt Disney Studios, that cement. I mean, it was like it was like potholes just everywhere, and that's all been completely redone. The pirate ship over there by Pirates of the Caribbean. It's been completely rebuilt.
Well, that was rotting. That was just rotting away. Yeah. It hadn't been looked at for many years.
Yeah, so that's completely been rebuilt. I mean, everything that I had seen before and taken photos of it had been addressed.
But with new rides and new shops and new parades and new investment, you know, Disneyland Paris is certainly here to stay. It's a massive tourist attraction for Europe, let alone for France. And well worth going, although I'm always slightly concerned that the studios are overlooked when people discuss the celebrations. As James rightly said, it's time to celebrate the fact that Disneyland Studios are 10 this year. In contrast to the 40th anniversary of Walt Disney World, the 40th just pales into insignificance in comparison to the 20th. And it's such a shame because on this side of the pond, we were so looking forward to Disney announcing something massive for Walt Disney World to the point where to the point we were all going to look at our overdrafts to see if we could go across to celebrate this massive 40th celebration. But it just didn't come to anything, unfortunately. Whereas I don't know whether Disney have learnt from that. Maybe they sort of acknowledged it, but they already had the 20th planned. But certainly they've impressed me this side with the 20th for Paris, definitely.
Yeah. I think something Grant touches on there as well is that Disneyland Paris has some unique rides that don't feature in any other Disney parks. The one that comes to mind, of course, is Crusher's Coaster, which is a fantastic ride. The idea is that you're riding in a turtle shell in the East Australian Current, and that's very well done, that ride, and it has massive, massive lines.
Oh, yeah.
And shortly, we will be getting the Ratatouille ride and the new restaurant, and that's going to be based very much on the kind of Winnie the Pooh ride thing at Tokyo, is it? Sorry, James is the one who knows about this.
Yeah, the Ratatouille dark ride will be a complete unique experience. It will be a dark ride. The ride technology, or certainly the track system, is the trackless system we've seen on Pooh's Honey Hunt in Tokyo. But the details of the ride are still very much shrouded in mystery. What we gather is that you'll obviously be shrunk down the size of Remy the Rat, and you'll be hurtling through the kitchen as giant frying pans and various sort of, you know, pots of soup and things will be flung towards you. There are some rumours that they may be borrowing some of the sort of 3D projection technology that we've seen on, say, the likes of Spider-Man. But these are pure rumours. Whatever it is, it's going to be another unique attraction to Disneyland Paris. Jeff's already mentioned Crush's Coaster. We've also got in the Walt Disney Studios Cinemagique, which is kind of
an amazing show, isn't it?
Yeah,
amazing.
Paris's sort of own different take on the Great Movie Ride. We've got Animagique, which is a wonderful blacklight live actor type puppet show.
Yeah. That one has a song more catchy than It's a Small World.
Animagique. Oh, yes.
Yeah. I bought the CD and I made a mistake of playing that song once, and it was in my head for like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also worth pointing out that flip then over to Disneyland Park. And yes, you've got the old familiars such as Big Thunder Mountain and Pirates of the Caribbean. But even there, Big Thunder Mountain is the fastest and longest of all the Big Thunder Mountains anywhere in the world, and has the unique twist that you actually dive down underneath the lake to begin with, only to pop up on the other side on Big Thunder Mountain. And then on the way back, you dive back down underneath the lake in the final high-speed sort of underground helix, which is just superb. Pirates of the Caribbean has not one, not two, but three downhill drops. And then Space Mountain, of course, is just a completely different experience to anything else you'll ride at any of the other Disney resorts. It's the only Space Mountain with inversions.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's superb. It is.
And of course, you fired out of a cannon on the outside of the building.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say all three of those rides are the best anywhere at that park.
Well, I'm sold. So when are we doing? when are we doing a podcast field trip?
We have to go over.
Time for some research.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tax deduction. Yeah.
But at the moment, Disneyland Park in Paris is actually the largest of all of the Disney parks which are based on the original Disneyland design. Or it's, you know, the central town square hub and the spokes. At the moment, it's the largest of all of them until they finish off the expansion to Fantasyland over in Orlando. And we're not quite sure what's going on at Shanghai yet, but we're guessing that it may be bigger. At the moment, people, you know, don't realize it's a big park and it does require a fair bit of walking.
Yeah.
Well, how many days do you think it requires to, let's say if I have the ability to fly there tomorrow, but you think like 4 days to do both parks or?
No, I was going to say, I would say you need a minimum of three to do the thing properly, but the more days you've got, the better. Yeah. I think you need at least two to do the Disneyland park, and the studios now takes a full day to fit everything in properly. If you then want to spend time and just do the exploring and the wandering, I would add another day in there as well.
Yeah.
So four is probably quite enough.
You've got to remember, guys, that it was designed completely different to, say, Walt Disney World, in that people don't go for a fortnight. It was kind of designed as a weekend park, so you would go on a Friday and then return home on a Monday. Some people go midweek, and so we'll do, like, Tuesday to Friday, that kind of thing. It depends on you. The one thing, though, that they're insistent about is if you book a hotel room in any of the resorts, you must have a ticket for every day that you're there.
Wow.
Really? Yeah.
And the problem is, of course, if you decide to have a day out in Paris, you're losing a day at the park.
Yeah. If you stay on site and you buy it as part of one of their packages, yeah, they include the tickets, basically. I think that's the better way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Is
part of the room price.
Yeah. Yes. When they built Orlando, certainly when they built California, when they built Orlando, Disney was still learning about how to be a travel agency. Yeah. By the time they'd got around to building Hong Kong and certainly Paris, they knew all about the travel industry and how to be a travel agency. So rather than having a load of independent hotels and getting those guys to put the deals and the holiday packages together, Disneyland Paris is your travel agency. Yeah. And we say it to the UK audience time and time and time again. You will not get a cheaper package than by going and talking to the mouse direct. Yeah. There's all these places where your travel agent gets involved. And of course, they're all having to pay commission one way or another. So somewhere you'll end up paying it, and normally that's on the transport side of things. But if you organise a hotel and stay package with Disney Paris, they include the tickets, and that's from the moment you arrive to the moment you leave. You are entitled to go into that park and back again. But as Jeff says, if you're staying on site, but you actually fancy going and exploring Paris a little bit, yeah, you are going to miss out on a day in the park.
Yeah. And It's not bad if you stay in Paris, because I was in Paris and I took the RER. I was there for a month and I took the RER out there like 10 or 11 times. But it's about an hour out from the center of Paris and an hour back.
Yeah, I mean, you can have a one-day trip if you want, if you're actually based in Paris itself.
Hmm.
We need to go.
Jeff makes a very good point about the weekend trippers. Where there's been a lot of debate over the years of why Paris, why not Spain? Yeah, Spain gets the climate, Spain gets the sun. You know, it's the usual common sort of central touring spot for majority of Europe. So why not Spain? And it came very, very close. They decided on where they built it in Paris because from there and the train and the motorway links it has, and even from the UK, you are no more than 2 hours away from it. Either by plane, by car, or by train. In mainland Europe, they get a lot of weekend traffic who will, you know, turn up on the Thursday night or the Friday night, do the weekend and go home either Sunday night or Monday. So a good tip is if you're going to do it, wherever possible, try and avoid the weekends. A lot of the annual pass holders swamp the place at the weekend. And, you know, some of the rides where midweek, even, you know, top and tail of the season, you can get on Big Thunder Mountain in 15, 20 minutes. At the weekend, during that same month, it bumps to about 90. So if you can avoid the weekends, I know it's not always easy, but that would be our recommendation.
Yeah.
Well, James, what would you say would be a good month to go as far as avoiding crowds?
September, October, you still get the tail end of the season. You still get the remnants of what we call a British summer. It's arrived today. We're glad to say, you know, the rain has gone and you'll get the remnants of the British summer. Majority of the British schools and indeed the European schools will return back to school in September, so you won't get so many of them. If you want the warm weather, also March, March, April time at the start as well. Avoiding Easter if you can is also good. The favourite time for us though traditionally is Christmas. Disneyland Paris do Christmas. And do a proper European Christmas like nothing else you've seen. We're big fans of Christmas over in Orlando. You cannot beat the Osborne lights. But I'm going to bring Grant in on this one because I know he agrees. Grant, isn't Christmas at Disneyland Paris very special?
Yeah, I would have to totally agree. Now, I've spent the last couple of Christmases in Orlando. Thoroughly enjoyed my time at Walt Disney World and all the parks. However, I have to say that Disneyland Paris know how to dress for Christmas. I appreciate in Walt Disney World, the heat is intense. Even, well, for us, it's intense at Christmas. That might not be for you, Bob, but it certainly is for us in Walt Disney World.
You know, I'm like an 85-year-old man, so you can't
fight me. But I would have to say that the Paris Imagineers really do know how to dress the park, and it's something just special. As James rightly says, they bring Christmas from around Europe into the park or around the park.
You shared photos with us last time when we talked a little bit about Disneyland Paris, or somebody did, shared Christmas photos, and it was absolutely gorgeous.
The difference is, in Orlando, at Christmas, during Main Street, yeah, your snow is wet and sticky, yeah? In Paris, it's real, and it's cold, yeah? But the fact of the matter is, the Europeans do Christmas very, very well. And if they go to Paris at Christmas, they wrap up for it. Everybody's got their hats, scarves, and gloves on because, you know, it's not a guessing game. You know, it's going to be cold. But if you're prepared for it, and there's plenty of the infamous Disneyland Paris hot chocolate on top everywhere, yeah, it's special.
It's funny you should mention that, James, because I was going to say that drinking hot chocolate and eating cookies in Florida, or indeed in Walt Disney World, is a luxury. In Paris, it's an absolute necessity.
Well, I mean, isn't so you don't get like the Christmas crowds that we get in Orlando? Like Christmas week is just terrible.
It's the same.
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently New Year is just incredible.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. At least not at Disney World, yeah.
New Year is to be avoided at all costs at Disneyland Paris. Number one, because, yes, they get mobbed with the crowds, just like Orlando. And, yes, they close the doors early in the day because of capacity. But also because Disney Village, of course, is open gates. You can, just like Downtown Disney and any other Disney resorts, you don't need a ticket. You can go in, you can wander around, you can shop, you can do the restaurants to your heart's content. And as I say, it's only 45 minutes out of Paris. So on New Year's Eve, because you can see the fireworks, because there's lots of events going on, people will congregate in the village and around Disney Lake to sit and watch the fireworks and have a drink and all the rest of it. And, you know, much like people will congregate in Times Square in New York, and obviously we've got places like the Millennium Wheel in London and the Castle at Edinburgh. People use Disneyland Park in Paris as a sort of central hub for getting together on New Year's Eve. So avoid that. And like Jeff said, the two Christmas weeks, yes, are very, very busy. I'm not sure what they'll be like this year because they are recording record numbers, apparently. But in past years, the 2 weeks in Christmas have actually been busier than weeks during their summer season. So we normally recommend if people are going to do Christmas at Paris that they book early.
Another good time to compare would be Halloween, because Disneyland Paris does Halloween so much differently from Walt Disney World. But I think James and Mel have actually been to more recently over to Paris at Halloween. So maybe Mel might want to give a few words on that, Mel.
We've not actually done Paris at Halloween, Grant. We actually did Florida for Halloween.
Oh, I take that back. Wait now, nurse, where's my medication?
But Disneyland Paris used to do Halloween very differently. They had the whole of the Frontierland taken over by the Pumpkin Men. But they're actually moving towards a more traditional Florida Disney Halloween season now. So it is changing a little bit now. So they've got the Halloween parties in the same way that Walt Disney World does. So it isn't quite as different as it used to be, unfortunately.
That's a shame.
I was going to say costume-wise, the costumes are more akin to the sort of thing that you'd find at a Universal Horror Night.
Yeah.
It's got a completely different flavor.
I remember seeing a video of Walt Disney Studios where, like, some guy's in there and he hears noises and he's, like, running. And it's you just see the camera and then he's, like, trying to get out the gate and, like, someone's dragging
him.
That's
a slightly different event. They've split it now. As Mel says, a few years back, the Halloween week at Paris was brilliant. And the Disneyland Park was quite special. They had this theme around the Pumpkin Men trying to turn the park orange. And so you see this orange path and these great daubs of orange paint all over the place. And they actually, they still run it, but it last year it wasn't themed quite as well. But they put up a conveyor belt between the top of Big Thunder Mountain over across the lake back into Frontierland, where the Pumpkin Men had this conveyor belt of these great orange buckets of orange paint, and there would be splashes of this orange pumpkin paint all over the place. That's changed, and they themed it last year a lot more around Orlando and Disneyland California on their not-so-scary Halloween parties. Meanwhile, over in Walt Disney Studios, what you've seen with the chap in Tower of Terror is their Terrorific Nights. And that is Walt Disney Studios aiming more for this sort of teenage 20, 30-somethings market and almost doing a kind of Halloween Horror Night without it being the complete scare fest that we know Universal do. But they do theme it around zombies. A lot of the rides there kind of get a special Halloween makeover. For example, Crush's Coaster becomes Crush's Coaster Storm Night. And they have a lot of live actors running around in Tower of Terror, terrorizing people. I know they do things like jumping up into the escape area on top of the lift cage and banging on the cage roof.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I love
the theming of the retheming or over theming of rides for the holidays. Yeah. I wish we don't do that enough.
Right. Yeah.
They've done it now for the past 4 years. The first 2 years, it was a third party company that had basically booked out Walt Disney Studios for that specific night and sold it as a special ticket event. It's been such a success that Disney has said, hey, we can do that ourselves. So now they're sort of subcontracted to Disney Paris, but they do it in conjunction with them. And it's certainly last year it was a sellout event.
Wow. Well, but I also like the idea. I guess if you're not going to have the Horror Nights type event at both parks, I at least like the idea that you can have something for younger kids and families, and then at the other park at the studios have something that appeals more to older kids and 20s and 30s somethings.
Without doubt. What you have to remember is that a lot of the theme park attractions that we're all familiar with, even over there in America, are built in Europe. It's the Germans with their train technology, the Swiss designers, the there's a few Italian designers as well. These are the guys that build and design these attractions. So quite often, particularly in Germany, there's a big event called Oktoberfest, which is a bit like one of your state fairs and then some. They take over a large sort of multi-acre field for a month and a half. And in between a lot of drinking of beer, it has to be said, there are these huge theme park rides and these temporary roller coasters. They just put up for a couple of months and then move them, you know, onto another field. So the Europeans are very used to riding big coasters and big thrill rides. And so Disney Paris has always got to think at the back of his mind, we can't just put It's a Small World in, because half our audience will just look at it and laugh. We've got to put something in that the teenagers will like, the older audience will get on and go, you know, scream if you want to go faster. That's why when they built Space Mountain, they knew we can't just put Space Mountain from Orlando in there. We've got to put something different in. We've got to put something in that people are going to say, that's a corker. And it is, and it still is.
And I love that expression. That's
can you tell that R. James is a coaster freak?
just a little.
Just a fan.
No, I like most roller coasters, but maybe not Rip Ride Rocket, but yeah, I too am a coaster fan, so.
I agree with you in Tyler and Rip Ride Rocket, but we'll have that conversation some other time.
Right. wow. No, it really just sounds great. I mean, I'm you know, so glad to hear too that, you know, from Steve and you guys, that the park is looking good and attendance is up, and, you know, it seems like they're doing a lot right.
The current executive, Philippe, is very keen now on building on that success. And his current objective is Walt Disney Studios, when they first opened it, was opened because they had to. It was part of the agreement with the banks that they had to open up a second gate by the year that they opened it. So they had to open it that year. But they knew that they'd only really opened half of it, which is why Tower of Terror came a few years later. They'd already built the foundations for it when they originally broke in the park and added that in later. And he's very keen now on turning Walt Disney Studios into a good full day park. There's still some who would argue, oh, you can do it in half a day. We would say no, it's now a full day park. You've got Tower of Terror. You've got Toon Studios and Crush's Coaster. You've got that whole new area with Toy Story Playland, with RC Racer. And the wonderful Toy Story parachute drop, which is it's kind of like it's a junior drop ride. And if you've got kids who are a little bit should we or shouldn't we on Tower of Terror, take them on that first. And if they like it, the Tower of Terror shouldn't be an issue. But it's growing by the minute, and it's the attendance figures are up. They're already talking that they're probably going to need to build two more hotels in the coming years. The one thing that they would love people to do, and they're still trying to encourage, is once they're through the gates, to actually spend more in the parks.
Huh. Mm. Yeah, that Toy Story area is super popular. All the families and kids, and I even rode all the rides except for RC Racer, because I think it was down, I think, the times I was there. But yeah, it's definitely a day park now, I think, over at Walt Disney Studios.
And don't forget the Slinky Dog ride.
Yeah, it's like the Himalaya. It's like a slinky dog that chases its tail up and down and around. It's a lot of fun.
We are quite passionate about Disneyland Paris over here.
Yeah, it's really nice. And like I was saying, they had merchandise for the 20th anniversary, which was nice. I mean, everything from T-shirts on up to if you wanted to spend some money for some kind of cool looking tin, tins that you can hang on the wall. And I mean, even the hamburger I got had the 20th anniversary with Tinkerbell, like, burned into the bun.
Yeah. The image, not actually Tinkerbell. Don't worry.
That's a new secret ingredient.
And worth mentioning that in the signature restaurants, they commissioned a special wine as well for the celebration.
They
and that's something we didn't mention earlier about the Dream Show, is that they do a dinner package, which gives you a sort of VIP viewing area, Having done it, I can't say that the view we had was any better than what the rest of the crowd had.
Yeah, we've heard that a lot, Jeff.
I mean, because you're just on a pavement in front of the control room.
We wouldn't ever stop people going and checking out the likes of the Waltz restaurant, which is superb.
Oh, brilliant.
Or the Silver Spur, but the viewing area isn't anything special.
Oh, and that's a good point. So every time I go, I walk by Waltz on Main Street, and their specialty is like a $40 hamburger. So I just can't do it. I just never, I'm like, I don't care what that hamburger is made out of. It's not going to be worth $40. So I never eat there.
I will allow Jeff to review it because he's been more recently than we have.
I'd have to dispute that with you, Steve. I mean, I had a beautiful three-course meal for 40-odd euros, which are roughly about the same as a dollar, I think, in value. I mean, beautiful starter of crab with sesame seed, what do you call them, like gaufrettes. Beautiful duck with a cherry sauce for the main course. And then I actually had a piece of the 20th Celebration Gatto, which was like a four-tier different coloured layers in it. But as I say, it was only about, I think, with a glass of wine, it was about 45 euro.
Okay, well, that's good. I did try.
They do other things besides burgers.
Okay, because I saw that was their specialty. Every time I read their menu, it's like the specialty is the burger, and I'm like,
They do have a burger somewhere else. They do have a gourmet burger on the menu, but as Jeff said, they do lots of other things as well. So we're looking forward to trying that out this time when we go.
Yeah, it's the type of place. It's the type of place that does have a revolving menu. So there are some classics which will always be on there, but they do swap and change up that menu quite regularly. And I know they have done so for this 20th anniversary as well. Just for those who've never seen it, just to set the scene on Waltz Restaurant, when you walk into the lobby, there's a grand piano there, and quite often there's certainly later on in the day there are people playing music. And there is a staircase that you go up, but there's a lift that I believe, Jeff, is modeled on the Club 33 lift. Is that correct?
I was going to say, yeah. the foyer is very much shades of Club 33.
Yeah.
The difference is when you get upstairs in that there are like, is it four or five rooms?
And
each one is themed on an area of the park. So you've got the Fantasyland room, the Frontierland room, Adventureland, and so on.
It's beautiful.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So we'll have to try that.
Well, while we've been sitting here, I've been shooting Steve notes and poking and saying.
He's like looking at dates.
Yeah. I'm thinking September of.
So when are you going?
September of 13.
Hey, I have my annual pass. It was like the best deal anywhere. For when I was there to get an annual pass.
Yeah, when he told me he had an annual pass, I nearly fell over.
Isn't it because you've got a day ticket? You get some massive discount, don't you?
Off the
annual pass price, yeah.
Yeah, I went 10 times with an annual pass, and it was about the price of maybe 2 days of admission to get an annual pass.
We often make the points to people here in the United Kingdom that if they do it, for a long stay, people will do it sensibly and do the hotel and stay package so that they've got their park tickets included. But if you are going to visit Paris two or more times during the year, it actually makes sense to buy an annual pass. It's a heck of a lot cheaper. And we constantly make the points that with the discount, as you've just mentioned, you've got a day ticket, you can pick up the annual pass for about 40-50 euros. That's an annual pass, yeah? For about the same price as our number one theme park in the UK at the moment, Alton Towers, want for a day ticket for an adult. Yeah. It's a brilliant deal.
Yeah.
Really is a superb deal.
Yeah. And you get some discounts on dining. And then, every once in a while you get like a little coupon for a free drink or something, and you get discounts on merchandise. So it worked out really well.
There is another little tip for saving money at Paris, which you may be interested in.
Do tell.
That's called the Shareholders Club. If you buy into Disneyland Paris and buy Euro Disney shares, the holding company is still called Euro Disney, and that's the only time it's ever still mentioned. But if you buy into Euro Disney and buy a certain amount of shares,
It's just 20 shares you need.
So, which you can do for as little as about £85 at the moment. That will entitle you to become a member of the Shareholders Club. Mm-hmm. And that will give you various discounts off staying in the hotels, 20%, 10% off restaurants, boutiques, annual pass prices. There's a whole wealth of special offers and things they throw at you.
And the thing to remember as well is if you're only going on the one visit, when you come back, you sell your shares and get your money back. So.
Right, right. I mean, it's kind of like a mini investment, and then it's a deposit.
Absolutely.
It's semi deposit.
You also get the Salon Mickey perk as well, yes. Don't you? Sort of like a muffin and a coffee and things.
Yes, you do. There's right at the entrance to the park, there's a little... you have to look for it, actually. If you don't know it's there, you do just walk past
it. It's to the right, isn't it, near the entrance to the Disneyland Hotel?
It is. And that's exclusively for shareholders. And that's open every day from 9 in the morning till 12 noon. And it's just like a little coffee room that you can go into. They have complimentary coffee, soft drinks, pastries in the morning. And it's just a very nice, pleasant way to start your day. And what we find as well is if you go for the extra magic hours, so you're in the park for 8 o'clock, you do your extra magic hours, and then as the crowds start to come in, you head out, you go to Salon Mickey, you have a little break and get your breakfast, and then you trot back off into the parks and carry on. So it's just a nice little perk for shareholders.
Very nice.
I like that.
Yeah, especially since it's kind of a no-obligation membership type thing.
Absolutely.
And that's 85 euros is not much at all.
It isn't.
That's $130.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I have one share in the Walt Disney Company, and every January I receive a check for 28 cents.
Don't spend it all in one place.
And the postage on that
it's
is...
It's going to cost more than that to post it
right.
to.
Right.
Okay, guys. Well, it's been wonderful meeting up with you again and catching up on things. And if you could remind your listeners that over here in the UK, we have the Dibcast. I do the main show with Rob and Mel and Grant at the beginning of the month. And then Jem kicks in with his extra show, usually around about the 15th. So if you guys ever want to listen to us, just find us on www.dibcast.com. That's www.dibcast.com.
D-I-B-B.
C-A-S-T.
Okay, great.
We just did a jingle there, didn't we?
Feel free to use that. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. I'd like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. I'd also like to remind you that you can download our shows at iTunes, or you can go to mousechat.net. You can get them there as well. Please join us again here next time on Mousechat.